Foundation. Amen. So we're going to go to the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 39. Passage of scripture that I believe is going to bring forth a lot of encouragement to us today. Luke 22, verse 39. Very powerful passage of scripture here. It says this: He went out, meaning Jesus, and made his way as usual to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he told them, pray. Everybody say pray. Pray that you may not fall into temptation. Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and began to pray. Everybody say pray. Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That is a word for many of us in here today. Because some of the reason why our life has stalled out is because we're trying to do our will and not God's will. And our prayer needs to be what Jesus says: not my will, but let yours be done. And then the Bible says next, verse 43, then an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. Being in anguish, he prayed more fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples. He found them sleeping, exhausted from grief. And he says, why are you sleeping? He asked them, get up and pray so that you won't fall into temptation. I want us to go back to verse 41. Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and began to pray. Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. Being in anguish, if I say anguish, he prayed more fervently. He prayed more fervently. I want to preach from this theme and thought today as we continue our series, The Answer. And I want to call today's sermon, How to Handle Your Pressure. Can you look at the person beside you and say, hey, family, God wants to show you how to handle your pressure. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak to us, give us wisdom, give us clarity, have your way in this moment, bring relief, bring peace, bring grace to us in a way that only you can. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. 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 You can be seated. How to handle your pressure. I want to start off, family, by making this assertion and statement that I believe many of us will probably say amen to. Pressure and stress impacts all of us. Let the church say amen. Matter of fact, according to the American Psychological Association, the APA, over 70%, 76% of adults report experiencing physical symptoms due to stress. When you break that down even more, ages 15 to 29, meaning teenagers to young adults, 64% of them say they are stressed. Ages 30 to 49, 65% of them are stressed. And ages 50 to 70 plus also say at least 60% find themselves stressed. Stress has been shown to lead to different physical symptoms like headaches and heartburn, rapid breathing, high blood pressure, a weakened immune system. Did you actually know that the higher levels of stress that you actually carry around in your body can actually contribute to a weakening of your immune system, which thus leads to you getting sick quite often? So some of the reason why many people get sick is simply because they're stressed. Many call the time that we live in the age of burnout. It's a time where people are all feeling different types of stress and pressure. People are dealing with insomnia, can't sleep at night because of stress, and increased rates of depression. All of us will find ourselves in a place of pressure and experiencing stress of all kinds. Matter of fact, even Jesus says these words in John 16 and 33. He says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And then he says this, and he told that, and you will have suffering in this world. You will have suffering in this world. That word suffering actually is the Greek word that translates to understanding of meaning to press, to compress, or to squeeze, or to crush. In other words, Jesus is saying, you and I will walk through moments in our life, no matter how saved you are, no matter if you know Jesus or don't know Jesus, you and I will walk through moments in life where it feels like life is putting the squeeze on us, where it feels like life is compressing us, where it feels like life is putting pressure on us, means this, that it's not a matter of if we will experience pressure, it's a matter of how we will experience pressure. It's not a matter of whether or not we will go through pressure, but the question is, what will we do when pressure comes knocking at our door? Which brings us here to Luke chapter 22, because here and also in Matthew's account of this same experience in the same moment where Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see Jesus' family experiencing a pressure and stress-filled moment. Because as Jesus is preparing to now go to the cross for your sin, for my sin, and for the sins of all humanity, we see him having this encounter with pressure. The pressure that Jesus is experiencing isn't because of his disobedience. It's because of our disobedience. The pressure that Jesus is experiencing here in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Mount of Olives, if you will, isn't because he is outside of the will of God, but rather because he's inside the will of God. Can I let us know that even as you follow Jesus, sometimes following Jesus will still lead to you being in moments of pressure. Everybody say pressure. And here we see Jesus under an enormous amount, an intense type of pressure. Everything in his ministry and life has been building up to this moment. For 33 years, all the miracles that he has done, all the healings that he has performed, the walking on the water and the opening of blinded eyes and the healing of the sick and the raising of the dead, for instance, people like a Lazarus, all the different things that Jesus has been doing has simply been laying the groundwork and the foundation for this moment right here, where he finds himself in a garden on the night in which he would actually be betrayed. And in Matthew chapter 26, verses 37 through 38, it says something about this same moment. Here in Luke, we see Luke characterizing some details about Jesus's moment in the garden, but then also Matthew, two writers telling the same story, including different details. So Matthew says this, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he told the disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking along Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, meaning James and John, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. And in verse 38, he says this, I am deeply grieved to the point of death. He says, I'm so grieved. I'm under so much pressure right now to the point of death. Matter of fact, when you jump ahead to Luke chapter 22, verse 44, we read it in the beginning portions of this sermon. The Bible says, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. I don't know if you've ever been under that type of pressure, where you were sweating so much that your sweat droplets began to be like blood coming down your face and exiting from your pores. Doctors would oftentimes call this hemotidrosis, to the point where you are under so much pressure in your brain and in your mind, so much to the point where blood vessels begin to explode and blood begins to mix with the perspiration called sweat. And as it leaves and exits your pores, blood droplets begin. I don't know if you've ever been under that kind of pressure, where you were sweating blood. Jesus, here's what we can say, because many of us have said this, but Jesus experienced this literally. He literally has the weight of the world on his shoulders. He has the weight of billions and billions and billions of lives for all of human history, past, present, and future, on his shoulders. And he's getting ready to have to go to the cross to experience the judgment for the sins of the world. He's experiencing this pressure in this place known for pressure, which is called Gethsemane. That word Gethsemane actually translates to oil press. I'll talk more about that in a moment, but short and simple to the point, it is a garden where grapes and olives were crushed for the purposes of oil and wine to be produced. Oil in the Old Testament was a symbol of power and the presence of God, where it was also a symbol of joy. Here, Jesus' family is in a physical place of pressure while also in an emotional and mental and even spiritual place of pressure. Let me say it like this. Jesus is under more pressure than anybody ever faced in human history. I don't care how many tests you've had to take. You never had to take a test like this. I don't care what kind of things are happening in your life. You've never experienced anything to this magnitude. I'm here to let you know that what Jesus is dealing with here in the text is something unlike anything that the people of all of human history, ourselves included, have ever experienced. I'm here to let you know that Jesus is experiencing your pressure. He's carrying your weights. He's carrying the weight of the world. He's carrying having to experience the wrath and the judgment of God for all of the sins of the world. He would be brutally crucified, executed, shamed, beaten, spat upon. Most of all, he would experience temporarily separation from God the Father on our behalf, which is why on the cross he says, "Father, Father, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He's feeling the weight of having to suffer for the sins of the world. And what we learn in this moment is that if Jesus, the Son of God, experienced pressure, you and I will also experience pressure. Somebody say pressure. Pressure is not something that you and I can avoid, family. I don't care how much you try to vacation it away. I don't care how much you try to work it away. I don't care how much you try to pray it away. None of us will ever be able to avoid the presence of pressure. And many of us right here under the sound of my voice, online and in person, you find yourself right now in a place of dealing with pressure. Some of you are dealing with emotional pressure. Some of us are dealing with physical pressure. Some of us are dealing with mental pressure. Some of us are dealing with spiritual pressure. Pastor, what kind of pressure do you mean? Many of us are dealing with a pressure to perform, a pressure to please people. Some of us are feeling the pressure to provide for our family, that in the midst of everything that's happening all around us, in the midst of job loss and shutdowns, we're beginning to feel the weight of the world crushing down on us. Many of us feel the pressure to meet deadlines at work or at school. Some of us feel pressure from people around us and peer pressure, if you will. Some of us feel the pressure from the world and the pressure to fit in. Some of us feel the pressure as a single parent trying to raise the kids that God has given you. Some of us as students feel the pressure to get good grades all the time. Some of us feel pressure from your spouse. And some of us also feel pressure in the form of temptation to not do the very thing that you know you should not do. And culture's response, family, when we find ourselves under enormous amounts of pressure is oftentimes this: work harder, push through it, grind harder. That when we feel pressure, culture says, smoke it away. Culture might say, drink it away. Culture might say, sleep it away. Culture might say, game it away. Culture might say, social media it away. Culture might say, binge watch it away. Party it away. Sex it away. Culture gives all these different remedies as to how to deal with pressure. But can we be honest? How many of us in here have tried to employ so many different methods to deal with the pressure only to find out that the pressure did not go anywhere? It was simply pacified for the moment. But when we came down out of that high, when we came up out of that vacation, when we came back to our senses, that pressure was still there. And pressure, family, has a strange way of bringing us to our knees. How can you say that, Pastor? Because it brought Jesus to his knees. And life has a strange way of bringing us to our knees and leaving us feeling stressed and leaving us feeling pressed and leaving us feeling crushed. Some of us in here right now are crushed. We got a broken heart because we've walked through some heartache and we walked through some pain. Some of us are walking through some loss right now and you're dealing with the crushing feelings of that. Some of us, you had a dream to pursue a certain thing and that thing did not happen. It came crashing down and now it feels like all of life is crashing down. The pressure in your life is adding up. Some of you, you have loved ones whose health is declining rapidly as we speak and you don't know what to do. You're feeling the pressure in the moment, family. I don't care who you are, how young you are, how old you are, whatever your background is, no matter how much money you make, no matter how much money you don't make, all of us will find ourselves dealing with enormous amounts of pressure.
But what's encouraging about this text is that it shows us, family, that when we are under pressure, we do not have to turn to the remedies of the world. We don't have to turn to the ways of culture. No, when things turn up and when the pressure turns up, Jesus shows us a better way. And that better way is summed up in these three words: go to God. That when pressure shows up, that means it's an indicator to go to God. I want you to look at Luke 22, verse 41 through 42, because as I say this, many of us are like not wooed by that. And I can tell just by this 9 a.m. response right now, we're not overwhelmed by that. We got one little golf clap right here, but all of us should be shouting about that. I'm gonna show you what Jesus does. Here's what Luke 22 says. Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and then in Luke 22, verses 41 through 42, he says this. Here's what Jesus says out of his mouth in verse 41 and 42. He says this: Father. Father. Can y'all bring up verse 42 on the screen? This is what he says. Father. Father. Everybody say Father.
Father.
That's what he says. Father. Before he gets into anything else, he calls on his Father. Before he gets into anything else, he calls on his daddy. Jesus shows us that the cheat code to dealing with pressure and stress is to call on the name of the Lord our God. He didn't call on his friends. He called on his Father. He didn't call on his disciples. His disciples were sleeping by the wayside. He didn't call on angels in this moment to help him. He did not call on anything else in this moment. He called on his Father to show us that the greatest thing that you can do when you find yourself under pressure and you find yourself under stress is to call on the name of the Lord. Pastor, how can we say that? Because the Bible says that all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and then they are saved. The Bible says that some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. I'm here to let you know that when you find yourself dealing with pressure, call on the name of your God. Call Jehovah Jireh, the God who can provide. Call Jehovah Nissi, the God your banner. Call Jehovah Rapha, the God who can heal. Call El Elyon. Call El Shaddai. Call Jehovah. Call on his name. I want you to write this down. You don't need a long prayer for pressure. You just need a strong name for pressure. You don't need a 10-minute prayer when you feel pressure. You just need the right name when you deal with pressure. Let me say it again. You don't have to be on your face praying for hours upon hours. There's nothing wrong with that. I would encourage you to do that. I think, matter of fact, Jesus did that in many instances. But all you need to first understand is who you're supposed to call on, because who you call on has everything to do with what you will ask him to do. Who you call on will determine whether or not you can endure this pressure or whether you will succumb to this pressure. When you call on the name of the Lord, things begin to change. And I want to encourage some of you who are here today and you're under enormous amounts of stress and you're under enormous amounts of pressure and you're feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders, I'm here to let you know you can call on the name of your God. I'm here to let you know there's power in his name. There's healing in his name. There's hope in his name. There's joy in his name. There's help in his name. There is comfort in his name. There is provision in his name. That no matter who you are, and the weight that you're carrying, I'm here to let you know you can call on the name of the Lord. Meaning this, if you're a student and you're struggling right now, you can call on the name of the Lord. If you're a single parent in here struggling to make ends meet and struggling to take care of your family, I'm here to let you know you can call on the name of the Lord. If you got a negative prognosis this week, I'm here to let you know you can call on the name of the Lord. If you're struggling with depression, I'm here to let you know you can call on the name of the Lord. If you can't see your way through the loss and the experiences that you're walking through right now, I'm here to let you know you can call on the name of the Lord. And as a matter of fact, some of you all are here today and you can testify that when you called on the name of the Lord, he showed up just in the nick of time. When you called on him in a time of sickness, he healed your body. When you called on him when you needed provision, he provided for you. And I think that there's a few people in here that can give God praise for the fact that when I called on the name of the Lord, he showed up. Matter of fact, we should take 10 seconds right now and give God the best praise that when
you find yourself walking through the darkest of moments, you called on the name of the Lord and he showed up. Tell the person beside you, call on his name. Call on his name. Lean on his name. Trust in the Lord with all your hearts. And don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord, the name of the Lord. There is power in his name. Wonder working power in his name. There was only one name under heaven by which we can be saved. That name, Jesus Christ. Allah cannot save you. Buddha cannot save you. There is only one name that can save you, and his name is Jesus Christ. Your mama can't get you out of this. Your daddy can't get you out of this. Your kids can't get you out of this. A new bonus cannot get you out of this. There's only one name under heaven that can get you out of the pressure that you are dealing with, and his name is Jesus Christ. Here to let you know that there's power in his name. Call on his name. When you're dealing with pressure, call on his name. Meaning this, you don't have to carry the pressure that you're dealing with on your own. Call on his name. I feel like I can end the sermon right there. Call on his name. Pastor, why do you keep saying this? Because oftentimes when we feel pressure, we call on all the other things. We call on weed. We call on a bottle. We call on a new bonus. We call on more work. We call on a friend. We call on social media. We call on Netflix. We call on food. We call on all these other things. And some of those things are not inherently wrong. But I'm here to let you know that there's only one name that you can call on that will be consistent in season and out of season. There's only one name that you can call on that will help you in moments of when life presses you and life squeezes you and life crushes you. And that is the name of God. Pressure is oftentimes a revealer of what happens and who we trust and what we're trusting in. I want you to write this down, that we don't only need his name for eternal life, we need his name for everyday life. Many of us who are followers of Christ, it's like we have this spiritual disconnect in our mind. Because we have enough understanding that we needed to call on the name of Jesus for salvation to get us to heaven. But we sometimes forget that we still need to call on his name to get us through earth. I don't just need his name for heaven. I need his name for every day. Come on, where are my people at in here? I need Jesus every day. I need him to get to heaven, but I need him to get through earth. You call on his name. And what Jesus shows us here is that when you and I are under enormous amounts of pressure, we don't have to turn to things that are temporary. We don't have to turn to substances for relief, but we can turn to the one who is eternal. So what does Jesus show us when it comes to calling on the name of the Lord? How does Jesus handle his pressure? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. Everything that you and I will ever face in life, hear me, Jesus has already gone through. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that he has suffered like us, meaning he's experienced, in essence, everything that you and I would ever experience. So if that's the case, when you and I are dealing with pressure, the first thing we need to ask is, how did Jesus deal with the pressure that he found himself under? Because last time I checked, he had the weight of the world on his shoulders, and nobody has ever experienced it to that degree. But can I give you the Cliff Notes version? He got through it. And if you're going to get through it, I think it behooves us to take notes from Jesus. Wouldn't you say so? So here's what I want us to see. That because of Jesus, he shows us his example. Here's what we first need to do when we find ourselves under pressure. Here's what it is. And this is going to mess some of us up, but I want you to write it down. We need to surrender in the pressure. Somebody say surrender. So I want you to look at verses 41 through 42 back here in Luke 22. Here's what the Bible says. He withdrew from them about a stone's throw. He knelt down and he began to pray. Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but let yours be done. Then I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 22, Matthew chapter 25. not 22, but Matthew 25, when Jesus is in this garden, the Bible says this, that Jesus knelt down and he prayed. And the Bible says he fell face down and he prayed. He kneels and he falls face down. He's on his knees and he's praying in this moment. This is a picture of Jesus being surrendered. So yes, life has brought him to his knees, but as he is on his knees, he is surrendering his pressure to his Father. He gives us a lesson on what it is that you and I are supposed to do with pressure. We surrender it. And the reason why some of us end up cracking under pressure is because we carry it too long. We're not supposed to carry our pressure. We're supposed to carry our pressure to the one who can do something about our pressure. We're carrying things that we should not be carrying. And it's crushing us. It's crushing our souls. And it's crushing our minds. But Jesus shows us a better way. He says, instead of stuffing your pressure, surrender it. Somebody say surrender. He prays to God the Father. I want you to notice what he says. He prays to God the Father. If it's possible, take this cup from me. Now, I'm going to help us understand theologically what he means by cup. He's not talking about a literal physical cup. A cup was oftentimes a metaphor throughout the scriptures, meaning God's judgment, God's wrath. And so here he's saying, if it's possible, take this cup away from me. This cup that Jesus was going to have to drink from was a cup that you and I should have drank from. He's about to experience the weight of our sin because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And now he's getting ready to drink from this cup from you and I. You ought to be thanking God that God didn't make you and I drink from that cup, but rather he sent his son Jesus to do it for us. And here Jesus, he says, if it's possible, please let this cup pass. If it's possible, if there's another way. Have you ever been in a situation where you've said, God, if there's another way? God, if there's, can I not have to go? Come on, where are my real people at 9 a.m.? I know the coffee's still kicking in. Come on, how many of y'all have prayed this prayer? Lord, please, I don't want to have to go through this. Come on, let's be real. God, I don't want to have to endure this. I don't want to have to experience this. I don't want to have to carry the weight of losing a loved one right now. I don't want to have to go through this time of losing my job. Come on, let's be real. That we have these moments where we're asking God. And I love this, that Jesus models this to me, because here's what we see. We know that Jesus was 100% God, but he's also 100% man. And here in this moment, we see his humanity alongside of his divinity. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But notice what he says. But not my will, let yours be done. I love the fact that Jesus shows us what honesty looks like in prayer. Can I let you know God can handle your honesty? Matter of fact, he wants you to be honest in your prayer time. He wants you to be honest about the depression that you're feeling right now. He wants you to be honest about the concerns that you have about the job loss. He wants you to be honest about the weight that you're carrying in school and the weight that you're carrying with your family and the weight that you're carrying in your marriage. He wants you to be honest. He wants you to be honest about the anxiety that you woke up with this morning. He wants you to be honest about the stress that you came in the church. Some of us right now, we are in here and we sit down in this chair and we stressed. I'm stressed out. He wants you to be honest about that. And here's what we see Jesus doing. As he's being honest about this cup that he has to drink and this pressure, here's what it also shows. He's bringing his petitions to God the Father, which shows us that prayer is where we can present our requests to God. Prayer is where we bring our petitions to God. Prayer is where we take the makeup off. Come on, this is women's conference. We take the mascara off. We take the Maybelline off. We take the Vaseline off. Come on, we take the eyelashes off. We take the hair off. Come on, this is for the guys too, because some of guys be wearing hair pieces nowadays, you know. I don't want nobody to think I'm just one person. No. Prayer is the place where we can be honest. Because here's the reality. God already sees through all of our fakeness anyway. We might as well be real. He wants us to be honest. And here's what Jesus does in verse 44. Let's jump down to verse 44. The Bible says this. He prayed more fervently. He prayed more fervently. Every time we see Jesus in pressure, do you know what he's doing? He's praying. Every time he's in pressure and stress, he prays. He says here, Father, if it's possible. You know, the next time he was under a whole lot of pressure on the cross. And you know one of the things he said from the cross? Father, forgive them. Every time Jesus is in pressure, he's in prayer. Can I ask us a question? When you are finding yourself in pressure, what do you do? Do we panic? Do we pivot? Do we throw a pity party? Or do we do like Jesus? Do we pray? Whenever he was under pressure, he was always in prayer. Prayer is the place for me to process, watch this, and release my pressure to God. Here's what prayer is. Prayer is a release valve for your pressure. Write this down. God is inviting us to turn our place of pressure into a place of prayer. Wherever you're most pressured right now, turn it into a place of prayer. I'm not dismissing the weight that you feel. It's real. But pray into that. Pray about that. Some of us are feeling anxiety in our heart because of a decision that we got to make or because of something that we're going to have experience in our life, because of a conversation that we're going to have or because of what's going to happen when we go to work tomorrow. Some of us are feeling the weight of that. Can I give you some good news? There is a release valve that God gives you to deal with that pressure, and it's called prayer. Wants you to pray. Here's what Philippians 4:6 says. I've said this almost every single week during this series. I feel like God is speaking this to us to remind us. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through what? Prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your request to God. Present your request to God. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So here's what I'm going to say. What's consuming your thoughts right now? Pray about it. What's consuming your heart right now? Pray about it. What is keeping you up at night? Some of us did not sleep well at all last night. Can I encourage you with this? Pray about it. Talk to God about it. I don't care if you got to keep talking to God during the course of the night until you fall asleep. Talk to God about it. What's causing you anxiety right now? Pray about it. And here's what I've learned in 40 plus years of living and time with God. You and I cannot always stop the pressure. We don't have the ability to stop the pressure. Write this down. Get this in your heart. But we always have the ability to surrender the pressure. You and I can't stop it, but you and I can always surrender it. Father, I can't stop what's getting ready to come, but I can surrender it. Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, can I tell you what happened? It led to a cross. His prayer did not stop the cross from happening. His prayer, we'll see in a moment, helped him get to the cross. His prayer helped him to get through the cross. You and I don't always have the ability to stop the pressure, but we always have the ability to surrender the pressure. And I can hear what some of us are saying to God in here today. God, I've never been under this much pressure. And I hear God speaking to some of us to encourage us. Yes, but you've also never been in this much prayer. And maybe sometimes the reason why God allows pressure to come in our life is because he wants to deepen our walk with him. And that oftentimes happens through prayer. Because let's be honest, sometimes if we didn't experience any pressure at all, we wouldn't pray. Let's be real. Come on, let's be honest. I know you love Jesus. And I know you got your nice little Bible today. But let's be honest. When things are going well, here's what happens sometimes. We get spiritually complacent. When all the bills continuously get paid and we got overflow in the bank account, sometimes here's what happens. I'm not saying that we do this intentionally, but here's what happens sometimes subtly. We forget to give God thanks for the fact that he's the provider. So we begin to take our eyes off of his goodness. And so sometimes God has to allow some things to happen in our life to remind us that he is the source of our provision, not provision itself. Sometimes pressure comes to perfect us. And I know we don't like to hear that, but it's perfecting something in us. Here's the second thing, that we surrender in the pressure as Jesus did, but here's what Jesus also teaches us that will happen in pressure. That when we surrender in the pressure, here's the good news, we'll be strengthened in the pressure. So I want you to look at verse 43 of Luke chapter 2. Here's what the Bible says. It says this, that as he was praying, an angel from heaven appeared to him. And what did that angel do? Strengthened him. Here's what this word strengthen means here. It means to cause someone to regain strength after a temporary loss. Can I let you know something? That God is the God of the comeback. that whatever you've lost and whatever, quote unquote, the enemy has stolen from you, can I let you know that the Lord is able to replenish whatever it is that the enemy has stolen? He re-strengthens us. When pressure comes, family, it's an opportunity to experience the strength and the power of God. Here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, and I believe that this scripture is going to minister to some of us in here. Paul, the apostle, the great church planter of all these different churches in the first century Greco-Roman context, Paul, the once persecutor of the church, is now a planter of churches. He finds himself in a very painful moment. Notice what he does. Therefore, so that I would not exalt myself, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. We don't know what this thorn was. He says, a messenger of Satan would torment me so that I would not exalt myself. Concerning this, verse 8, here's what the Bible says. I pleaded with the Lord. How many times? Three times. Who else prayed three times when they found themselves under pain? Jesus. He says, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it would leave me. Verse 9 says this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power, everybody say power, is perfected in weakness. So here's what we see. God did not remove the thorn. He left it there. But more importantly than what he left there, he put something else to come alongside of that thorn, something that was greater than that thorn, and it was called his dunamis power. He strengthened Paul in the midst of the pain he felt. Can I also let us know this? Here's what this theological lesson that we can gain from this. God does not always answer the prayer that you prayed the way that you want it to be prayed and the way you want it to be answered. Sometimes God does not give you and I what we want, but he always gives you and I what we need. Some of us like, Lord, would you remove this person from your life? God's like, no. God, would you help? Would you just get rid of my boss? And God's like, no, I'm leaving them there. Because my grace, my strength, my power is sufficient. So God's like, I'm going to leave them there to strengthen you in the area of love. Come on here. I'm leaving them there to strengthen you in the area of patience. Some of y'all been praying, Lord, help me be more patient. God's like, awesome. I'm going to leave this person right here. My strength, my grace is sufficient. So Paul says this, therefore, I will most gladly boast at the end of verse 9, I will most gladly boast up more about the weaknesses, my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may reside in me. So here's what he says next in verse 10. So I take pleasure in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Y'all, what kind of gospel thought process is this? Watch what, do you see what he says in verse 10? What does he say? I take pleasure in weaknesses. I take pleasure in hardships. I take pleasure in persecutions. I take pleasure in difficulties. Why? Because when I am weak, then I am strong. The imagery that comes to mind when I think about what Paul is saying, I take pleasure in this, is somebody who goes to the gym and they work out all the time and they're struggling to lift a certain weight and they're struggling. And I've seen it plenty of times. Guys be in the weight room and they're lifting and they're trying to get a PR and they're struggling and they're yelling and they're hollering in the gym and people looking at them like they're crazy. And they get up off the bar, yeah! And you're like, yo, fam. They have so much joy in the struggle. Why? Because they know that the struggle is achieving something great that they've never achieved before. Well, can I let you know, as it is in the physical, so it is in the spiritual. This is what Paul is saying. I take pleasure in the persecution. Why? Because the more persecution I experience, the more of the power of God I experience. God's strength is perfected. Weakness. This was the same Paul. Can I give you another scripture? Who wrote the book of Philippians? And you know where he wrote it from? A prison. He was under pressure. So here's what he says in Philippians 4:12. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry. Can I pause right there and let us know? Some of us don't have a money problem. Some of us got a contentment problem. Contentment is your issue, not finances. Paul says, I've learned the secret to be content, whether I got a whole lot or whether I have nothing at all, whether well-fed or hungry, whether, watch this, next verse, in abundance or in need. And here's what verse 13 says, because this is a scripture that many of us quote. We've been quoting it since the time we came out the womb, and we use it to apply to all different types of things. I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. So we've used this to say all different types of things. I used to claim this over my life when I was a teenager playing basketball in high school. I could do all things through Jesus Christ, and I'm going to go to the NBA. And I remember one day God said, no, you're not. No, this is not what I mean by this. Because they, why y'all laughing at my dreams, man? I had to go to therapy, but I'm joking. The context of what Paul was saying before he said this verse was what? He was struggling. I know what it's like to struggle, and I know what it's like to succeed. I can endure all things. Why? Because of God strengthening me through Christ. He's saying this verse in the midst of pressure. He's writing this from a place of prison. Can I give you another scripture? Here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says. This is the scripture that God put on my heart for many of you here this morning. Now we have this treasure in clay jars, so that this extraordinary power may be from God and not from us. Here's what verse 8 is. Some of y'all need to get this in your heart. I believe this is for some of you. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry the death of Jesus in our body so that the life of Jesus may also be displayed in our body. Here's what Paul is saying. We might be pressed, but we are not crushed. We might be going through craziness right now, but God will have the final say so. And I don't know about you. I get excited about the fact that no matter the pressure that I'm dealing with, God is saying, I will have the final say so. My grace is sufficient. My power is sufficient. He says, we're afflicted, but we're not crushed. Some of us are walking through all types of afflictions right now, and it feels crushing, but can I let you know, you're still here by the grace of God. You are still alive by the grace of God. The worst thing that the enemy tried to throw your way, it did not take you out. You are here because of the grace of God, because of the mercy of God, because of his hand that is on you, because of his power that is on your life. That's a great place right now to give God praise for the fact that what the enemy meant for evil, God can turn it and make it for good. So in life, family, we will experience pressures, but in pressure, we can experience God's power. Write this down. The pressures of life are invitations for the power of God. The pressures of life are invitations for the power of God. I wish I could tell you that when times were most pleasant, those were the times when I was in most prayer. That would be a lie. Your pastor has to even admit that oftentimes prayer gets turned up in my life when pressure gets turned up in my life. And I thank God for the pressure moments, because the pressure moments draw something out of me, not that I put there, but something that God put there, his power, his grace being sufficient. And thirdly, what this means is when we surrender in the pressure and God strengthens us in the pressure, here's what happens. That strength enables us, write this down, to stand in the pressure. Everybody say stand. I want you to look at verse 44 through 45. The Bible says this, being in anguish, he prayed more fervently. Fervently means he prayed consistently. He prayed without ceasing. The Apostle Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. So as much pressure as you feel, keep on praying. Jesus, the Bible says, he prayed three times. Matthew says this in his account of this. He prayed three times while he was in the garden. I don't care how many times you gotta pray. Pray until that pressure comes up off you. Yeah. We used to have this acronym when I was growing up in the church. We would say something like this, push, meaning this, pray until something happens. Yeah. Keep praying. Be persistent in that. And here's what happens. Jesus, the Bible says, he prayed more fervently and his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he got up from prayer, what position is he in? He's standing. What did we see him in earlier? He was kneeling. So pressure brought him to his knees, but it was prayer that brought him to his feet. Come on. Pressure had him in a place of feeling defeated in this moment. He felt the weight of the world. So he called on the name of his Father to show us that when you and I feel pressure and pressure brings us to our knees, there is something that will give us strength to stand. God will give us the strength to stand in the midst of the pressure that we feel. God will give us the pressure and the pain, or the power to stand in the midst of the pain and the stress and the pressure that we feel on the inside of us. Notice what God the Father did not do. He did not give him an exit from the pressure. He gave him strength to endure the pressure. Can I let you know that God is the God of exits? We have a whole book in the Old Testament called Exodus. It means the exit. I don't know if you knew that or not. But not only is he the God of exits, he's also the God of endurance. Because sometimes God won't take you out of a thing directly. Sometimes he gives you strength to endure the thing. And what some of us have been praying, God, get me out of this. The prayer really might need to be, God, help me get through this. So David says it like this, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I fear no evil, for you are with me. And when we go to God in prayer, family, here's what happens. We can go from kneeling under pressure to now being able to stand under pressure. Write this down. Pressure has the potential to bring us to our knees, but prayer has the power to bring us to our feet. Pressure has the potential to bring us to our knees, but prayer has the power to bring us to our feet. So here's what 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says. I love this. I love this verse with everything in me. This is a verse that ministers to me when I feel like the weight of the world is on my shoulders. And when I feel like I can't see my way through. Here's what Paul says. For our momentary light affliction. Momentary. Meaning this, it won't last forever. The pressure you feel is not eternal. It's light affliction. Watch what it says next. And it's producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. So here's what verse 18 says. This is how you and I can get through that pressure moment. Verse 18 says this. So we do not focus on what is seen. We focus on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And I'm here to encourage some of you all who are here today, and you're dealing with all kinds of pressure. I'm here to give you this word of encouragement. This too shall pass. That no matter what it is that you're walking through right now, this will not last forever. James 1:12 says it like this. I'm going to close with this. Blessed is the one who endures trials, because when he has, watch this, stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When the one who endures trials, because when he has stood, everybody say stand. You and I got to be able to stand the pressure. You and I got to be able to, in the words of so many different R&B proverbial artists from back in the 90s and even before that, stand in the rain. We got to be able to stand the rain of pressure. We got to be able to stand the weight of discomfort. We got to be able to stand in the pressure of life's circumstances. I'm here to let you know that here's what some of the old church would say when I was growing up. Trouble don't last always. I'm here to encourage some of you all here today who the enemy is saying this is how it's going to always be. I'm here to let you know, no, it is not. That is a lie from the pit of hell. If God be for you, who in the world will be against me? Pastor, how can you say that? Because the Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. I'm here to let you know that your pressure might be hard right now, but it won't last always. I'm here to let you know that you got a God on the throne of heaven who is working things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I'm here to let you know that because of Jesus, you have access to the strength and the power that you need to stand under the pressure. I'm here to let you know that because of Jesus, you can endure this season. Yes, you can endure this dark season. Yes, you can endure this depressive season. Yes, you can experience, you can endure this season of job loss. Yes, you can endure this season where people are abandoning you and people are turning their back on you. Why? Because of God before you. Who in the world can be against you? That because of Jesus, you can get through this hard moment. I know what doctors are saying, and I know what your principal is saying, and I know what your parents are saying, and I know what your spouse is saying, and I know what the enemy is saying, but I'm here to let you know that it doesn't matter what anybody else has said. The only thing that matters is what God has said, and I'm here to let you know that he will give you strength to be able to endure the pressure moments that you're facing. Tell the person beside you, you can get through this. Come on, find somebody else in the room. Tell them you can get through this. I don't know what this is for you, and I don't know what darkness you're walking through right now, but I'm here to let you know that you can get through this. God is for you, that he gives you strength to endure the pressure. I want to close with this because when I think about what Jesus is doing in this moment, I said this earlier, that Jesus finds himself praying in this place called Gethsemane, or the Mount of Olives. Here's what the Bible also says, that he would regularly go there. Meaning this, he had a spiritual routine of always going to this place to tap in with God the Father. Because when you and I go through hard moments, you need a routine that you can lean on that's going to help you tap in with God. And the Bible says that he was in Gethsemane. I told you earlier that Gethsemane literally means oil press. It's a place where grapes were pressed. Oftentimes, people would take grapes and they would step on them in the garden to crush them to produce the ingredients necessary for wine. It was also a place where olives would be pressed and crushed for the purposes of oil. In the Old Testament, oil was synonymous for the power and the presence of God. Wine was symbolic of joy throughout the course of Scripture. So isn't it interesting that Jesus is being pressed literally in a place of God's presence and in a place of the joy of God? Can I let you know that in your most pressurized moments, can I let you know that the power of God can flow out of that moment, that the joy of God can flow out of that moment? But can I let you know that in the Garden of Gethsemane, it wasn't just oil and it wasn't just grapes that were being pressed, nor was it just olives that were being pressed. Jesus was being pressed. He was being crushed, which was now a preview of the crushing he would experience through the crucifixion for your sin, my sin, and the sins of the world. Then on a hill called Golgotha, Calvary. Do you know what Golgotha means? It means place of the skull. Well, what was it that Jesus was sweating from when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? His skull. So he's in the Garden of Gethsemane as a preview and as a foreshadow of what would happen while he is on a cross and on a hill called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull, where he had a crown of thorns placed on his what? On his skull, and on his skull and out of his skull. It wasn't oil that ran down. It wasn't wine that ran down. It was his blood that ran down. And it was his blood that brought about the power of the forgiveness of the sins of the world. It was his blood that ran out. That was the necessary atonement for the sins of the world. I'm here to let you know that Jesus endured the cross that was set before him for your sins and mine. I'm here to let you know that thank God that when he was in the garden, he got the strength that he needed to stand in the garden. He got the strength that he needed to endure the cross, and he did not go to the cross for himself. He went to the cross for you. He went to the cross for me. And I just want to know, is there anybody here today that's grateful for the fact that Jesus did not crack under pressure, that he did not fold under pressure, but he persevered under pressure. He stood under pressure. Thank God that he was crushed under pressure, because his crushing led to our salvation. Can I let you know this? There's a purpose to your pressure. There's an eternal purpose. There's an everyday purpose. I'm here to let you know that in Jesus, there's a power that you need to experience, the strength that you need to stand. I'm going to invite us all to stand to our feet. Jesus was crushed on the cross so that you and I could be saved through the cross. He was crushed. He was hard-pressed as nails were crushed into his hands, as a spiked nail was crushed into his feet. Not one time, even when people said, get off the cross and save yourself and save us, he stayed there. Because oftentimes, God's deliverance is not found in exiting pressure. It's found in the endurance of pressure. And I don't know about you, I'm glad that Jesus did not abandon his pressure. Because if he abandoned his pressure, that means all of us will be abandoned to our sin right now. But thanks be unto God that he did not fold under pressure. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And he stayed there till it was done, till he said, tetelestai, it is finished. And even when people thought he was finished, and even when people thought that they got him, and even when the enemy thought that he had him and they buried him in the tomb, I'm here to let you know that the pressure of the tomb, it did not keep him in the tomb. That pressure, just like a good sponge, it squeezed something that was in the tomb. And what did it squeeze out of the tomb? It squeezed new life, a resurrected life that on the third day, Jesus rises with all power in his hands. I'm here to let you know that Jesus went through the squeezing moment so that way you and I can experience the pressure moments of life. That you and I can stand under pressure. And I believe that many of you are here today and you're under so much pressure. You're carrying so much. Can I let you know to do what Jesus did, to surrender it? To give it to God? Because when you do that, here's what happens. He strengthens you. He gives you the strength that you need. And he also gives you strength to stand. To stand in it. To endure it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today, I want to let you know this. You will not be able to deal with life's pressures without the God who has conquered pressure. Life gets heavy. Let's be real. Life gets hard. And you can't deal with the pressures of life on your own. You need the God who has the strength to help you endure it. His name is Jesus. And some of you might be here today and you're like, man, I've been trying to deal with life in my own strength. I'm here to let you know, let's stop that. You need Jesus. And I want to let you know this. You don't got to carry this any longer by yourself. He's already carried it to the cross. All he's inviting you to do is to trust in him. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I need Jesus. Life is too hard. I've tried to do it on my own. It's impossible. I need him. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed on the count of three. If this is you and you're saying, I need Jesus. I need to give him my life. Today, for some of you, he's calling you to surrender your life to him. On the count of three, I want you to shoot up your hand if you're ready to give your life to Jesus, to say yes to him. One, today is a day of new beginnings. Two, any person in Christ is a new creature. One, two, three, wherever you are, shoot up your hand. You need to say yes to Jesus. Amen. I see your hand. Amen. 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 For every hand lifted in this place, I want to lead you in a prayer. The Bible says in Romans 10 and 9, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he was raised back to life, you will be saved. So would you say these words? Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. I receive your life. I receive your forgiveness. In your name, Jesus, I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, can we celebrate those who have said yes to Jesus Christ today? Come on, can we give God praise? I saw some hands go up. Amen.